I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, we're going to pick it up here. It's a pretty heady topic. We talk about legislating values, legislating morality. That is part of our job here. I've talked about where we draw lines in this country. Yeah, and it should happen financially with our spending, but it also, it happens in a lot of ways with our social issues as well. So we're talking about some of those things today. I've noted here too, and we feel like there's maybe a bit of a culture war, more than just a bit of a culture war, but I'm going to say that the Family Foundation is under attack, and there's a lot of pushback. We're talking about that pushback today with the Montana Family Foundation on Voices of Montana. Welcome along. I hope you're doing well. I know it is a Monday here, and it's even a rainy day on Monday, isn't it? I wonder if we can get Karen Carpenter to bring that up for us. Oh, what a voice that is. Anyway, hey, it is Monday. Keep hanging in there. All right. Well, and you got some work to do? Well, then get out there and kick it. Let's kick it for the week. We'll do the same thing here. Got a big week planned. Thank you for being here. Making this part of your Montana mornings, 2 decades strong and working on 3. It's From Montana, For Montana, Voices of Montana, the things that are difficult to talk about, but we need to talk about because I feel that there is a deterioration of family values. And I know that's a lot in the eyes of the beholder, so to speak. But if it's in the eyes of many beholders, then we probably have a situation we have to address. And I think this legislature, this last session, we dealt with a lot of financial issues, but a little bit of cleaning up on some legislation when it comes to terms. Going to get right into it here. We talked about school policy. We talked about these, of course, liberty, religious liberty, life. Those are things that this Montana Family Foundation has focused on for a number of years. And we're going to speak with Derek Astreicher, legal counsel for the Montana Family Foundation, and just kind of go around and see how we're doing out there with our families. How you doing, Derek?
Hey, I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks so much for having me on the program this morning. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Well, and I really appreciate chatting with you as well. As we kind of just chat a little bit this morning, I know there's a list of things that we'll go through, but you know it's difficult at times to talk about these issues because they get very personal. But from a collective standpoint, when we talk about maybe reining in some of the things that are going on medically in the transgender world, or reining in some of the freedoms that we feel are being under attack as parents in this country. What's the secret to doing that and getting people on board?
Well, you know, the secret there, Tom, is just being patient and knowing the truth. You know, we're not appearing regularly before the tax committees. These aren't financial bills and pieces of policy that we're coming to speak about. These are issues that touch on people's deeply held convictions, deeply held beliefs. And so even some of the most seemingly innocuous things get really embroiled during the legislative session. I think, you know, probably the most controversial bill from this past session was probably the simplest. And that was a bill to simply define the terms male and female.
Yeah. And talk more about that. Was that Senate Bill 99, the one that's under in challenge?
No, Senate Bill 99 it was also a controversial one, but Senate Bill 458 was a definitions bill, and that was passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, and it defines the terms male, female, and biological sex. And that was probably the most controversial bill of the session. We had lobbyists in the halls trying to make deals with legislators to get that bill killed. But we knew at the Montana Family Foundation that we needed to define reality. We needed to define what is a man, what is a woman. We can finally answer Matt Walsh's question, what is a woman? We can answer that here in Montana because of our legislature defining those terms. And it really takes away that idea that you can misgender somebody. You're not talking about gender, you're talking about biological sex. And sex and gender may have meant the same thing in years past. They don't anymore. And so we didn't even try to take a stab at defining gender here in Montana. It's something that really seems like you can't define it at this point. But biological sex is definable. And that's something that the legislature did here in Montana, and we're grateful for that because it just gives a level playing field for everyone.
Is there any one of these now? And there's a number to kind of talk about here too, and I just want you to feel free to talk about those things. I know the Montana Family Foundation. It's montanafamily.org for more information. You've got categories, or you restrict yourself to a number of issues here: life, religious liberty, school choice, marriage, and family. Was there any one debate, and maybe that's hard to answer, but just think back, was there any one bill or one debate that kind of encapsulates where the struggles are and the difficulties in bridging some of the gaps that we have when it comes to gender and sex?
Yeah, gosh, that is a tough question to answer.
Yeah.
Because several different bills come to mind, and those are our four areas of main action areas: life, religious liberty, marriage and family, and school choice. And most often, those bills are going to be heard before our either Senate or House Judiciary committees. And whenever we have a bill on one of those issues, we get buckled up for a 3 or 4 hour hearing. Mm. Because this is not something that the other side just goes away quietly on. These are issues that they play to people's emotions, and people come out and they want to talk about it, whether they're opposed or supporting the bill. When I think about some of the most controversial bills of the session, and particularly ones that are targeted towards marriage and family and our children and our youth, I think about House Bill 359. That was Representative Mitchell brought a bill to prevent drag performances in front of minors. And of course, that bill has recently been enjoined. But that was a very interesting day during the legislative session where we had full on drag performers coming and testifying before the House Judiciary Committee, and they could not answer the question though, Tom, why they want to perform in front of minors. Because we get lots of phone calls at the Montana Family Foundation, but we've never once received a phone call, and I'm not aware of anyone that has their kindergartner or first grader begging to go see a drag performance. But yet the inverse was what these performers were talking about. We want to be allowed to perform in front of children, but there's no children clamoring to see these shows, to my knowledge.
How do you, and this is a term that you use when you talk about some of the, well, the challenges or the dividing lines, so to speak, the culture war.
Right.
What is a culture war?
What is a culture war? That's an awesome question. It's something that I've actually been traveling the state and talking about the culture war that we're experiencing, not just here in Montana, but across the nation. And that's where I see the divide. I don't necessarily think this is a political divide, but a culture war is a battle for hearts and minds. It's a battle over what you truly believe and what is the purpose of life. And here at the Montana Family Foundation, we center our policy positions and our way of life on Judeo-Christian values. That's what drives us. That's what gives us an anchor and a starting point from which we can determine, you know, what we believe is good policy and what is bad policy. But that's not the only worldview out there. And when you have these worldviews battling, it's something that transcends politics. It's not about being Republican or Democrat. It's about what you truly believe at the core. And so a culture war really refers to a conflict between social groups over values, beliefs, and practices. And then I think once you have defined a culture war, you realize that somebody's trying to win this culture war. So the objective of a culture war is the destruction and replacement of one ethos and its culture for another. So that's what's at stake, is that when you have these battling positions, this conflict between values and beliefs, one system is trying to replace the other. And that's really what drives, I think, a lot of the embroiled and very, long hearings during the legislative sessions in the Judiciary Committee. That's what gets people really fired up.
How do you then engage in this? How do you engage the public? Because you say dividing lines here, some political, some spiritual, but they all very much have meaning to a lot of groups and, you know, to the general public, I guess. And maybe that's where we need to figure out, you know, what kind of battles are going on. We can call it a culture war, and we can see how, you know, certain groups will line up on the left and the right. But how are we engaging those of us that are affected by these policies?
Right. No, that's the perfect question to ask, because as Christians, I think we're called to engage in the battle for truth. We're not doing that with physical weapons. We're not beating people over the head. We're not forcing people into our belief and our culture. We're called to through faith rely on the transformative power of the gospel, but we have to be aware that these other cultures are trying to destroy and replace our Christian worldview. So I think as Christians and here at the Montana Family Foundation, the way we engage is, number one, through prayer. We're praying for God's guidance in these policy battles. And number two, we're not just sitting down quietly. I think, you know, there were several points during the legislative session where we had some pretty intense debate over policy, and there were times when people on the left would say, you know, look, if you don't like it, just sit down and be quiet. Well, that's not what we should do in terms of our engagement. We don't just sit down on our hands and just watch it unfold in front of us. If we see something that's wrong and that's harmful, we need to stand up and speak truth about it. So as Christians, there's nothing wrong with calling a spade, so to speak, and saying, no, that's not right, and we shouldn't be doing that. So I think number one is just getting engaged, and that's our hope.
Derek, thank you for that. Stand by. Derek Aestreicher is with us with the Montana Family Foundation. We'll come on back and talk more about challenges to Senate Bill 99, House Bill 562. That's the Community Choice Bill. Back with more of Voices of Montana here in just a bit.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Tom Schultz alongside here with Voices of Montana. Feel free to give us a call today. We're talking about the things that aren't always easy to talk about, but when we talk about some of these social issues and where how the family weighs in and how the spiritual community can weigh in as well, Derek Aestreicher is with the Chief Legal Counsel and Director of Government Affairs with the Montana Family Foundation, Montana Family Derek.org for more information. Kind of, Derek, thanks for being here. Kind of set the stage. I think there's more on the stage to set to. You know, we talk about, I'm curious as to what kind of pushback. You guys are obviously, as you say, a Judeo-Christian organization. And so when you're lobbying and when you're working to enact social changes, what kind of pressure or what kind of challenges do you face because you're a Bible believer?
Oh, sure, Tom, and thanks again for having me on the program. I think, you know, the quickest and easiest illustration would be from this past session. We had a bill brought by a Democrat legislator from the Bozeman area to codify abortion as a religious right, R-I-T-E. And wow. that bill, thankfully, was struck down in the executive action shortly after the hearing. But after the session, you know, there was some discussion in the hall with another legislator, and our president, Jeff Laszlofy, was even asked, well, what's your problem with Satan? And and it just highlights, you know,
what's your problem with Hitler after all? Yeah.
What's your problem with Satan? What's your problem with Hitler? What's your problem with evil? And it highlights the battle that we're in is between what we view as good, based on what God tells us is good, and evil. And that's how we view it, and we don't hate anyone in the Capitol. I think a lot of times today when people see disagreement on issues, they conflate that with, well, you disagree with me, so you must hate me. But yeah, that's not the case. We disagree with you, but we don't hate you. If we disagree with you, we're just speaking truth because we're called to, as Christians, to engage in this culture war that we talked about earlier, and we're called to engage by speaking the truth and hopefully pointing people to the one way and the one truth.
Yeah, and you know, I know labeling and name calling, a lot of times that's political format or manipulation, I would say. But in these areas, it gets very personal. So it's hard to just kind of focus on the policy of things and focus where people are getting hurt or where their real, you know, their rights as identified in our Constitution are being usurped or not defended. Let's get into some of the specifics here, because I know, as you noted, life, religious liberty, school choice, marriage and family, a lot of those things were on the plate in this legislative session, and you guys felt like you came away with some good provisions for the public.
Right, we're really proud of the Montana legislature. I mean, obviously we had a supermajority of Republicans this past session, both the House and Senate. Republican Governor Gianforte. And so, you know, I think people expected a lot of conservative values to be promoted through the session, and that's exactly what happened. We had 9 substantial pro-life pieces of legislation that were advanced to the governor's desk for signature. But with those, I mean, this highlights that the battle's not over when the legislature goes sine die. As soon as the legislative session is over, and in at least one case, even before a bill was signed, we know that there's legal challenges coming, and 4 of those pro-life pieces of legislation have already been enjoined at the district court level by district court judges and are now on appeal in front of the Montana Supreme Court. So that's how quickly some of these policy victories at the legislative session can turn into just sitting there in limbo, sometimes for years. I would also, you know, mention that that's just one area. We also have in our marriage and family category, we have Senate Bill 99. This was another controversial piece of legislation that aimed to protect children, minors, anyone under the age of 18 from so-called affirmative care. Now, this is often called gender-affirming care, and we actually had a Dr. Jay Richards from Heritage Foundation. He told me this is actually biological sex denying care, because we're not affirming somebody's biological sex. We're actually denying it through these cares like puberty blockers, cross sex hormones, or reassignment surgeries, and those are being performed on minors. Yeah. And that can have irreversible life-altering effects.
You know, and I got to take a break here. And this is maybe a good place to pause and then come back and talk more about this in particular, Senate Bill 99 and that challenge there, too. I know it's difficult to talk when there is something in front of the courts here, but we'll have more on it. Derek Aestreicher is with us, Chief Legal Counsel and Director of Government Affairs with the Montana Family Foundation. Back with more Voices.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Derek Aestreicher is with us again. The Montana Family Foundation, as we're looking back over some of the accomplishments and some of the challenges and, of course, the discussions that involve movement toward family values, school choice, religious liberty, marriage and family, so to speak, in life. Some of the things that they focus on there at the Family Foundation. We just opened up the discussion about Senate Bill 99. And Derek, I understand the Montana Family Foundation, not a party in that lawsuit, please kind of detail that for us.
Yeah, so you know, this really goes back to the legislative session. You know, during the session, we heard testimony from those that were opposing the bill that look.
And let me just and I feel like I haven't clarified yet. Senate Bill 99 is the one that has restricted transgender care, operational or surgical care for minors.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Senate Bill 99 prohibits what we call gender-affirming care, so puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or sex reassignment or gender reassignment surgery, because you can't actually change your sex, Tom.
Yeah.
But gender reassignment surgery on minors, so anyone under the age of 18. And, you know, this comes in a world where we're seeing what we call detransitioned individuals, so people like Chloe Cole or Walt Heyer. You know, the story of Chloe Cole is really fascinating. She was 12 years old when she was put on puberty blockers because she was having some confusing thoughts about her gender identity. And then at 13, she was given cross-sex hormones. At 14, she had a double mastectomy, and at 15, went through menopause. And then at 16, realized she had been lied to and confused, and now she's traveling the country telling people about the dangers of this gender ideology that's being pushed on children, young, impressionable children. And so during the legislative session, we heard from opponents of Senate Bill 99 that said, look, this isn't happening in Montana. There's no children that are experiencing these types of what we'd call medical interventions in Montana. There's no children like this in Montana. Well, sure enough, after the session, after Senate Bill 99 was passed and it's codified that minors are protected, they're protected from these experimental procedures that have life-altering consequences. Sure enough, we have two young people and their families who've brought a suit in Missoula to challenge this law. And that case is pending right now, but it is here in Montana. It's not just in far off places like California or New York. This is being pushed on children here in Montana as well.
We've got a minute and a half here, and I know that's not a ton of time, but kind of talk about the arguments pro and con. What's the judge going to hear on this case?
Well, the judge is going to hear, I think, one of the most difficult arguments is that at the same time that we have this move to protect children from these experimental procedures, we also have a growing movement in Montana and elsewhere to codify parental rights, that parents have a right to help and guide their children in all the major decisions in life, whether that's their education, their moral and religious upbringing, or their medical decisions. And so That's something that the court's going to have to balance and take a really good look at here is, do parents have a right when you have a physician, a licensed physician, telling them, you know, something as coercive as would you rather have a living daughter or a dead son? And those are the types of things that Chloe Cole's family was told. When you have a professional like that saying that to parents, do they have a right to direct that medical care for their child in a way that's totally experimental and life-altering?
Thank you for that. We've got lots more to talk about, too, and some comments on that. If you guys would like to join us, give us a call here at 866-627-5483 or text a message here. That's how it happens a lot, too, 781-627-5483. We're talking about preservation of our family values in the state of Montana with Derek Aestreich.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Great to have you here at Objective Perspective, 2 decades strong and working on 3. Can you legislate values? Can you legislate morality? Well, the answer is yes, but I wouldn't use the word necessarily morality and even values. Although I think values is a fair label for this one. We're talking about that here with Derek Aestreicher, Chief Legal Counsel and Director of Government Affairs with the Montana Family Foundation. Tomorrow on the program, as we have a statewide drought emergency in the flat, well, we still have a lot of rain, but we still have a lot of drought situations going on here as well. So the governor will address that as he's on the program tomorrow. And then Jim Acheson from the Southeast Montana Development Organization, everybody very familiar with Jim as a supporter of the Colstrip area. He'll be on the program tomorrow. We're in Conrad Wednesday. We'll start at the Frontline Ag Solutions. Thursday, we'll be in Fairfield. And on Friday, sailors from the USS Montana. It's going to be a good week here, and thank you for making us a part of it. Derek Aestreicher, again, with the Montana Family Foundation, montanafamily.org, for more information. Been practicing for 10 years in Montana, and former Chief Deputy Attorney General under Austin Knutson's office there. And he runs a pretty tight ship. I'll tell you that. Really appreciate the work he's doing. And you as well, Derek. Let's go back to maybe did we cover what the judge is going to hear, the pros and cons about Senate Bill 99? Maybe if there's something to wrap up there. I know we've got another thing in the hearings coming up soon here for HB 562, the Community Choice Program.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. So Senate Bill 99, I think, you know, one of the most difficult arguments we've talked about is the parental rights argument that's going to be advanced in that case. You know, do parents have a right to direct the health care of their child? There's certainly going to be an equal protection argument. And that case is in its infancy at this point. Mm-hmm. And they have not sought to enjoin the law. So the law is in effect, and children in Montana are protected from these dangerous, life-changing medical experiments. But the law is being challenged. You mentioned House Bill 562. This was a bill from Representative Vinton, and this was to allow for the authorization of community choice schools. So it's a measure of school choice here in Montana. And so these would be publicly funded community choice schools that can be established anywhere in the state, and they would not be in nor of the school district in which they're physically located, but it can really serve a special need here in Montana, and particularly special needs education, that's one area that the legislature has had some particular attention to this past session as well. So, but that's being challenged. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, no, that's and again, this is a. Choice is, as you sort of noted earlier, it's a battle of our hearts and minds when it comes to education. What's on both sides of this argument?
Well, one of the most interesting arguments in this particular case is a right to suffrage claim brought by the challengers to this law. They're essentially saying that the tax money, the public dollars that are flowing to these community choice schools will not be separated out so granularly that the state can say, no, the money for this child is coming just from his or her family. It's essentially taxation without representation is the argument that because these taxpayers pay taxes into the general coffers that are going to support public education, they want to have the ability to vote in the elections that control the policy and the governance of these community choice schools. And that's just not the way these community choice schools are set up currently. So that's an interesting and frankly a novel legal argument that's being advanced in this case. But something that I think the state is prepared to defend against.
Yeah, and I find that interesting. I'll go back to that. What's the defense for the state here?
Well, the defense for the state is that, number one, these community choice schools, while they may be physically located within the boundaries, the geographical boundaries of a school district, they can have students outside of that school district attending the school. So it doesn't make sense to draw your qualified electorate based on geographical boundaries. That just wouldn't make sense. And there's actually Supreme Court precedent that would allow state legislatures to draw different lines for the qualified electorate.
Just a note here, Greg, thank you for listening in Arizona. Got a lot of respect for what you guys do. Are you planning on filing or have you filed an amicus on these cases? And this is what we're leading to, Greg, and I appreciate that question coming up. Trying to overturn Armstrong. When we talk about the suffrage aspect of the defense in this previous case, HBL, the community choice school bills, you look at any kind of avenue that a court can, and again, there's a concern that courts have been real liberal, and I think we see a lot of evidence for that as well. I mean, people can really make a good argument there. Any kind of element that allows a court that might have an agenda, any kind of wiggle room, you can almost expect that they're going to use that.
And this is
where the Armstrong case is key in all of this. It's going to evolve mostly, you know, life issues. But talk about how the courts are either they're doing the right thing or not doing the right thing when it comes to some of these issues.
Well, yeah. I, first of all, thank you, Greg, in Arizona. I appreciate the support, and the Family Foundation appreciates the support. And yes, we are planning to be as involved as possible in assisting the court. That's what amicus stands for. You're friend of the court. So in assisting the court with these heavy decisions. And so, you know, you talked about the Armstrong decision, and you know that dates back to 1999. And the rationale in that case is nearly identical to the rationale from Roe versus Wade, which we now know to be bad law because of the Dobbs decision. The difference in Armstrong is that our Montana Constitution has an express right to privacy contained in the Constitution. But that doesn't mean that there's a right to abortion put into that express right of privacy.
Right.
And that's kind of the point here is that, okay, unless we can overturn Armstrong, these district courts are sort of handcuffed by this binding precedent from the highest court in our state that says, no, there is an express right of privacy, and contained within that express right of privacy, there's a right to procreative autonomy, which is just code word for you have a right to abortion. But it because they've you know decided that these rights of privacy being expressed can have these implicit rights, including a right to procreative autonomy, you know, cases like Senate Bill 99 might also fall under that right to privacy analysis. And so that's kind of the danger of this precedent, that where does it end? And so unless we have a change in the culture and composition of our courts here in Montana, that bad precedent will remain bad precedent and lead to further bad precedent. So you know, we have two really important races coming up here in Montana, Tom. And that's for the Associate Justice and Chief Justice positions
on
the Montana Supreme Court.
Skip is definitely going to agree with you there. And let's kind of go into this a little bit more, because this has to be fixed in Montana. I think it does. Or I shouldn't say have to, but that would be the best place, because I know the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't – they shy away from taking cases that involve state law and are decided by state Supreme Courts. So you kind of have to have the right challenge for this. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah, you know, you really do. And there's a lot of strategy that goes into this, this type of analysis. And you know, certainly at the national level, the same kind of strategy goes into what type of case do you want to try and bring to the U.S. Supreme Court? Well, the same analysis goes into bringing cases before the Montana Supreme Court. The only difference being that our Montana Supreme Court, you have a right to appeal. We don't have an intermediate appellate court in Montana, so pretty much any case you can bring up. So there's danger in creating both good and bad precedent, just depending on the case. So we have to have a long-term vision for life in Montana. And you know, the other thing that we're up against here, Tom, is that we've had 50 years here in this nation where the U.S. Supreme Court precedent said that abortion is a constitutional right, and that's only recently changed. But you have an entire generation of people that grew up believing the exact opposite.
Well, and this is where education plays a big part in it as well. Got to take a final break here and come on back with more. Derek Aestreicher is with us again, Chief Legal Counsel and Director of Government Affairs for Montana Family Foundation, an organization that's very involved in policy making as well as research and education. Back with more here from Montana for Montana's Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Governor of Montana, Greg Gianforte on the program tomorrow, along with Jim Acheson. Again, the Montana Harvest Tour, the Farmers Montana Harvest Tour will take us to Conrad on Wednesday, Frontline Ag Solutions, and also to Fairfield on Thursday, and that'll be at the Elevator in town. A couple of great shows lined up there. I think you'll enjoy those. Derek Aestreicher, pardon me. And if you ever see his name spelled out, it's a lot easier than you. People, you got like several O's and E's in there, and I appreciate it was much easier to say than it is to look at. Thank you, Derek.
Yeah, no, thanks, Tom. Thanks again for having me on. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you this morning.
Chief Legal Counsel, Montana Family Foundation. We just got a couple of minutes here, and I want to maybe start by with this or end, because we hear that a lot. Oh, it's not happening in Montana. But I noticed legislation in Washington State recently talked about it. It's giving the state authority over parental rights. There's a bill in California that actually, even whether the proposals are passed or not, that wanted to allow legalization of abortion outside the womb. I mean, the pushback needs to happen, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and Tom, you bring up a great point. You know, we do keep tabs on what's happening in these other states. You know, and some of it is a barometer for us to know what might be on its way here to Montana. You know, because these aren't so far away that it's not happening here in Montana. We hear that all the time, but it's just not the case. If it's happening in California, it just means it's an idea that's on its way to Montana, and we need to be prepared with good, sound policy arguments.
Are we?
To combat it.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
How do we engage? How do you engage?
That's how we engage, Tom, is and my hope is that we have a revival in our churches, and an understanding that the church has a role in praying for our leaders here in Montana, has a role in shaping sound policy for us in this current generation and for the next generation. The church has a role. And so, you know, if you're listening here today and you'd love to see your church have a more active role, or you'd love to be a prayer partner with us, or you'd love to learn more about the Montana Family Foundation, please visit montanafamily.org. Please pray for us. If you're able, please contribute financially. But especially pray. God can use that prayer. God can use you and our churches to help in this culture war that we're facing. And yes, we are prepared.
I believe that's a very powerful tool and important point there. What's the response to those who will say, fine, pray in your church, but don't bring it to the Capitol? Fine, you can have your religion at home, but keep it to yourself there.
Look, if they can bring drag performers to the Capitol, we can bring prayer to the Capitol. You know, I can tell you this evening, there's a worship event in the Capitol to worship the creator of the universe. If you are able to make it to the Capitol this evening, I believe it starts at 6 o'clock. You know, make your way down there and worship with us. Prayer is welcome in the Capitol. Worship is welcome in the Capitol. And it's a powerful tool, and we need more of it. So absolutely, you know, don't shy away. Pray in your church, but don't be afraid to pray in the Capitol as well.
Appreciate the work and the thoughts, Derek. I know it's a battleground. It is for those who are engaged in it. You know, and both your those who oppose. You know, I think they have genuine concerns about things as well.
Certainly.
And we can address those genuinely. But I appreciate what you said. It's not. Don't automatically say that this person or that person is a hater because they disagree with your views.
Right.
Boy, that's the wrong place to start.
Right.
Hey, Derek.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Yeah. Thanks for the work you do, and I know a lot of people support you and the organization and everybody there. You know, give them a pat on the back for us. Appreciate that work that's being done out there.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Eric. Derek Astreicher with us again from the Montana Family Foundation, montanafamily.org for more information. So the Gov tomorrow and Jim Acheson, and we're out there thanking the farmers. It's harvest time. Good old Montana. See ya.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.